Well, that happened. Okay, here we are. LAFC get beat in Colorado 3-2, and unfortunately, that's become a little bit more of a familiar refrain going on the road and having a tough time of it. They dropped their third straight on the road to begin this 2024 campaign in MLS play, and really, this is the first one where I thought LAFC were going to win the match during the match, right? I mean, RSL was a weird game, you know, ridiculousness. Even Minnesota fully deserved to beat us on that match. I thought this was LAFC's game, Mario.
I really did. I mean, what a roller coaster of a year so far already. It's almost been two completely different teams when playing at home and then playing away from home. And on the road, you see glimpses of the LAFC that we all know and we want to see. But then there's moments within the match where the group gets away from the ideas and some of the game plan. Now, that being said, LAFC, we know that we're still trying to build out the roster with the black and gold, and the depth is not quite there. The club is still adding players, just added Kai Kamar to the mix, Maxime Cheneau, two players that can definitely add a lot to this team, but it's going to take some time, right, for them to get acclimated. So, I mean, will LAFC continue to score goals? Of course, we all know that. The team is going to score goals for sure. They're going to figure things out down the line, but it's going to take some time. So stay confident and just stay patient.
Well, it'll take at least a couple of more weeks before we get our first win on the road. We'll see how quickly that comes. This is LAFC Plus. Welcome to LAFC Plus, the podcast, episode 7. That's no April Fools, by the way. That's episode 7. He is Mario Rees. I'm Dave Denholm. We are part of the LAFC radio broadcast team on the English side. And it's always a pleasure to be with you for this podcast each and every week. We will get back to that loss in Colorado, break that down certainly further. But Mario, this obviously is a big week. It's nice to turn the page. The good news is when you're talking about a long season is you got another game coming up usually pretty fast. So even when you take it on the chin, time to turn the page. And now look who's on the schedule, back at BMO Stadium for the great matchup between LAFC and LA Galaxy. And it brings me back to something that we did, Mario, during the pandemic, which was Foe Traffico. So I wanted to just mention that because probably most people listening to this don't even know what that is. You know, it's been, 4 years now, really? Holy cow, I can't believe it's been that long. But, you know, obviously during the pandemic when everything stopped in MLS in 2020, we were supposed to play LA Galaxy right around May. I think it was like May 16th, if my memory serves. And so we decided to do something a little different, and it turned into Foe Traffico, and it was
a little different, fun. Dave, a little different. I mean, when you came up to me with this idea, I was like, hold up, Dave, you're going to do what? I mean, describing the game just off the top of your head, an imaginary game, hence Foe Traffico, an imaginary game that Dave Denholm is going to call just off the top of his head. No monitor, no game in front of him, just imaginary style. That is takes some incredible talent, honestly, Dave. So
well,
I don't
it was
know how
a lot
you
of
did
fun.
That.
My wife had asked me the question, and I know some people know the story, but probably several weeks before then, she just kind of out of the blue, we were just talking about my job, and this was long before any of the pandemic stuff was hitting, but it was becoming, you know, it was getting close to the season, and we were about to start again, you know, the third season of LAFC. And she's like, do you think you could just call a game off the top of your head without watching anything for 90 minutes? I'm like, no, of course not. Just the initial thought was that's no way. You'd lose your, you know, you'd lose your train of thought, but you'd also lose your mind probably after about 15 minutes. But the more I thought of it, I guess, and then the pandemic hit, of course. We had a couple of games, a couple of matches. I was, you know, excited to be back into it. Then all of a sudden, everything stops, the whole world, as we all know. And then I got bored and I was really jonesing for some MLS, you know, like I really needed it. Like, right. We all did. And so then with that game on the schedule that was supposed to have been played, LAFC versus LA Galaxy on the 16th. And those games already had been ridiculously amazing all, you know, up until that point. Right. So we were always looking forward to that when you see the initial schedule come out. So I thought, well, Mason, why don't we just do, I guess I could just try it then. Here's the thing, Mario. Mm-hmm. It turned out pretty well, right? Like I was happy. If it would have been terrible, nobody would have ever heard of it. I would have just hit erase, you know, when I was recording. Yeah. But I had told you about it before I did it. So that put a little more pressure on it because I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. But I didn't just didn't say, hey, Mario, look what you can work with here or see if you can make something of it, you know, kind of thing. And so I didn't know going in. But to your credit, you turned it into something because I just handed you an audio file of me calling a match. Just me. And you added everything. And then even LAFC did it on YouTube. It's still out there, Faux Traffico. But they added a lot of stuff too, right? The video, visual stuff to it, graphics, all the other. So you guys took the audio and ran with it and made it so much more. So, and it was a lot of fun.
So my question is, what was your game plan going into about to crack the mic and call this imaginary match? Oof. Like, what was going on through your head? Like, how are you going to do this? Do you have a rundown? Do you have notes? Do you prepare? Yeah,
I thought all that. I thought all about that. But I always knew from the get-go that I would not sketch out or plan out anything that I was going to call. Because I thought that would be worse, frankly. Mm-hmm. If I would have written out a bunch of stuff, okay, the fifth minute this is going to happen, that would really just throw me off for me.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe other people could do it. I just put out my usual boards of where players are on the pitch, the starters that I thought. And then I put the benches together of who I thought would be on the benches for each team, you know. Right. So I made sure that I just had it exactly like I would do for a regular game, just as I'm looking at it. That way, and I made two of them because what I wanted to do was I made a board for the first half where the team's going one direction. Yeah. And then I made a board for the second half where the team was going the other. And I did, I remember at halftime, I took a break like I would normally. It was a little longer than I normally would, but I try to stay on the same schedule even.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like the flow of it, right? I went down to get some tea, you know, in a different place, like in my kitchen. Real quick, tried to make it, you know, as fast as like a 15
bathroom,
you know,
break.
Yeah, the half times are 15 minutes. Now I do the halftime show, but then I wasn't doing the halftime show. I did do one for Faux Traffico real quick, but I did a bathroom break. I did a little make my tea, get the voice back, you know, a full go, and then did the second. But the problem was I screwed up and I didn't want to start over anything. It had to be live. Well, not live, but you know what I mean? I was recording it, but I wanted to make it plausibly live.
Yeah.
And I forgot to start the time, the clock in the second half. Okay. So I was like a minute and 10 seconds behind. And that drove me nuts the whole rest of the second half.
Oh my gosh.
And you can kind of see it sometimes. I'm a little off, you know, like because LAFC put the graphic up, Mario, of the actual clock. And I'll be like, oh, it's the 30, you know, or it's like the 70, because I have to add this, you know, the 45 minutes plus. So I'm looking at my watch, knowing it's a minute behind anyway, my timer. Right. But then I got to add 45 or 46 minutes to it now, essentially. So that threw me off for a while. I got used to it as the game went on, but I still was a little off and I was kind of guesstimating sometimes, you know, like not by a ton, but just. So that made me mad because I did it in the first half perfectly I just started the clock at the appropriate time. I totally missed it by about a minute in the second half. And I did catch it like quickly enough where I was like, oh man, you know, like I think I'm a minute in, you know, like, so
yeah,
but it wasn't going to be perfect. So,
but it went, you're the super genius. Well. You're the super talented one. You're the one that's all the knowledge of the league and all the players. And that's what it takes to be the ultimate, you know, play by play broadcaster. And so you
loaded this in here to our thing. Yeah. So I will play this. I won't do the scene setter, but we'll end it on this. This is just a piece of some of the play-by-play for Faux Traffico. And it's not a huge goal or anything, which is kind of cool. I kind of like that you put this in, you just grabbed it, you know, just a little piece of it, which is good.
Manages to hold it up, stolen away there by Palacios. Good job by Diego Palacios to dig in with that left foot. Palacios down the line to Rodriguez. Rodriguez now, he has a chance to settle in front of Felcher. Rodriguez cutting it back towards the middle with the right foot. Rodriguez around Felcher, edge of the area. Rodriguez, shot, save, Bingham on the far side, and he tips it wide. Oh, what an effort there. The first shot on goal, that one by Brian Rodriguez in the 17th minute, and it nearly made it 1-0. It'll be a corner kick for LAFC.
But wow. Did you hear all that background?
Just sent me, I know you just sent me the raw audio of just your voice. So yeah, I get that file. And then I'm like, okay, I'm listening to your energy. I'm listening to your play by play and I'm adding in crowd noise. I'm adding in the boo or the,
That was so great.
All that. Yeah, it turned out better than honestly that I thought. I mean, it sounded pretty real to me. I mean, I don't know if you guys viewing this or listening to this. Can go check it out. It's on YouTube somewhere out there. Just type in Fo Trafico. It'll pop up and you can listen to the whole match and you can even see who won the match.
That's so right. Go check that out. We're not going to spoil it for you, but
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you guys did a great job, Mario. I'll just lay it out there. My part of the work was just kind of, you know, making my boards and doing all my regular prep work, getting all the stats, fake stats even that I wanted to put in. And that took a while, but you probably put in twice as much work as I did on that. I mean, in terms of hours. So full credit to you. You turned it into something that was worth listening to, no doubt about it. So that was great. But it just
you make it easy, Dave. That's for sure. You make it easy.
I appreciate that. And this game always takes me back to that a little bit. I mean, I don't think about Fo Trafico that much anymore, but like occasionally someone will bring it up, either on social media or talking to us or something, you know, rarely. But it does kind of this week brings it back up. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
We will be getting to that as well. But we got to talk about this loss in Colorado. Another stat jumped out at me, Mario. It's the third straight loss to start the season on the road. LA dropped to 2-3-1. So all three losses are the three road games. Since the start of last season in MLS regular season, 20 regular season games on the road, they got 4 wins. And, you know, that just shows you how tough it is to win. This is a team that went to the MLS Cup for the second straight year last year, right? And actually got big wins on the road in the playoffs in Vancouver, in Seattle, in the Western Conference semi. Huge match. Now, of course, they had the Western Conference final back at home hosting Houston. But they got huge wins on the road in the playoffs. But in the regular season, it's not, you know, there's nothing guaranteed in MLS. I don't care how good you are. You're going to have to go scrape and claw and earn it on the road. And LAFC did for about 85 minutes. And it wasn't pretty all the time, but it looked like they were going to get it. And maybe not quite 85 because Mihailovic's amazing free kick was right around then. But two late goals by Colorado, Mario. And you're not going to win giving up 3 goals on the road.
Yeah, these are the type of matches, these are the type of losses that are really, really frustrating because you feel like you had a good enough chance to come away with the full 3 points. And then things just unraveled late and they unraveled very, very fast, which was crazy. And LAFC played, a good chunk of that match day, but you got to stay concentrated for the full 90 minutes plus. Closing out games, especially like you just said, on the road, are very, very tough, but you got to stay focused and you can't lose your head. And then the set pieces are also something that's given LAFC a little bit of trouble, a little bit of fits in the past. And that did happen again in Colorado on Saturday where Bombito had that header goal that he scored. And then also Mihailovic, he gets past Lloris on that free kick. So it is a very, very tough loss to take, but all credit to Colorado on that one.
Yeah, credit to Colorado. They deserved it, right? You battle back like that. I'm not taking anything away from them, but boy, for a poor team, they've been a bad team for a while. That's the bottom line. They still give LAFC trouble in their home stadium, right? We haven't won there since 2018. We talked about that in the pregame of the broadcast and building up to it. So it is not like it's an easy task to ever go in there. And there's been times, frankly, there's been games where LAFC were not even in the game against Colorado there. You know, just it just did not go our way all day. That didn't feel like that on Saturday until, and now we turn our attention to the youth movement here, and I'll play a little something. Until David Martinez, a substitute, let's be perfectly honest, lost his mind. I mean, he just can't do that. I know he's 18, and I'll talk a little bit more about that coming up, but let's play the goal first. This is what we assumed was going to get us the full 3 points late in this match. Yeah. And it was a thing of beauty. Here's the, this is the play-by-play call as you would have heard on 710 ESPN, the ESPN app, our call of the David Martinez goal late.
Into the run of Martinez, just outside of the 18. Martinez trying to get around the defender, does left-footed shot, goal! Oh, David! Drink it in, young man! It's his first this young man.
And you should never assume in a professional sporting event, but I thought we had won the game right there.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, this is why we love professional sports, right? Because you cannot write this stuff. You go in, you think, okay, the young Venezolano checks in. David Martinez comes on in the second half and gives LAFC the lead with his first career goal for the black and gold. And I'm thinking, just like you, all right, this is going to be the game winner. He starts sipping his tea, which is super cool. In the corner, they're sipping his tea. Like, yeah, this is what I do. This is just me over here minding my own business. But then he picks up two yellow cards in about 5 minutes or so.
Yeah,
and then he's sent off. And it's just like a matter
of... let's be honest.
Immaturity, right?
Yeah, these were not yellow cards to save a goal. Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? Yeah, he wasn't stopping a breakaway and taking a yellow for the team. They just weren't... You just can't do it. He knows this. I mean, if I'm Steve Cherundolo, you might have to say a little bit to him just to remind him that this is never going to happen again. But he knows this. These are professional athletes. He lost his mind a little bit there, got caught up in it, again, not to excuse it, but again, he knows, so it's not.
He definitely learned, Dave. He learned a lot from
that. Yeah, exactly. There. That's a good point, Mario. And look, this is part of youth movement, right? He's 18, right? And this is not like when I was 18, I was, oh man, just forget about it. You couldn't trust me to walk and chew gum or drive a car, whatever. I mean, this guy's, he's got the talent. You just have to keep putting him out there. There's no lesson to be learned other than don't do it again. And I'm sure he won't. But it does cost your team, because here's the funniest thing about professional sports, and even MLS, maybe even more so than a lot of them, a lot of soccer, leagues around the world, is the margins are so thin that if he doesn't get those yellow cards, let's say, and let's just play it out. Let's say that he doesn't get the yellows, doesn't, rush of blood to the head, doesn't happen. LAFC cruise to the 2-1. They hold on. They've been playing great D. Yeah, Bombito got loose in the first. But it wasn't like Colorado was really doing anything in the second half, frankly, for most of it. I mean, not that they weren't playing hard, but they just, they were not that dangerous for most of the second half. So let's say you just cruise to the 2-1, maybe even pick up a late goal because they're pushing for whatever. All of a sudden, everybody's talking about how, LAFC is just on the rise, two straight wins, look out, it's all, these are the margins, right? Rush of blood to the head, red card, two late goals. And to Mihailovic's credit, beautiful goals. That free kick was amazing, don't get me wrong. And they deserve it. Again, I'm not, but that's how things change. That's how quickly they can change from week to week.
And Edward was saying that they played, but they played a pretty good 80 minutes. And, it's a very tough loss to give it up in that fashion. And here's some more of what Edward had to say after the match and the reaction to that loss.
We are sad. We are bad. We are mad, sorry. Because we had a good performance in 80 minutes. The last 10 minutes were too bad. And we lose the 3 points, so we are mad for that, and we expect to be better in the next games.
I don't disagree. Edward. Yeah, it's not
much. I
kind of
felt the same way too. Look, you go on social media and people start to nitpick the whole game once you lose, right? But I think it was right. I mean, up until that Martinez goal, 76, 77. I thought it was a perfectly fine performance. I thought the first half was actually good from both teams. You never want to give up a set-piece goal, just like they didn't want to allow Edward that much space in the eighth minute. Those things are going to happen. They were good goals. I thought it was a pretty good match, and then I thought we really did play well up until the set. That's just how you have to finish, and you cannot.
One more thing I do see on the road day, one more thing, is just that the high press isn't working as well as it does at home. When the group is at home, you see a certain energy, a certain intensity when they come out that you especially need when you're trying to high press. So on the road, I'm just not seeing that working as well.
Well, you know, it is all the tough factors too. A mile high. Again, these are factors everybody has to deal with. So I'm not, they're not excuses.
Not excuses,
In terms of MLS going on the road, right? In other countries, you're taking a bus for like a half hour. That's where your long road trip, not the longest one, but in MLS, you're always getting on a plane. You're always going to different altitudes, different, you know, surfaces. And Colorado's surface is beautiful. That's not an excuse. It's just a, in terms of overall going on the road, we all know how tough these road trips are for a lot of teams. And we'll talk a little bit more about it, but there's a stat that's just fascinating about that, which I'll get to in a little bit. But yeah, it's not, you know, yes, you got to be focused and all that on the road. It's even, but it's beyond that. It's just, you got to go dig and scratch and claw results any way you can. It's not about pretty. It's not about playing great soccer all the time. Like, just go get results on the road somehow. And right now, in the last 20 MLS regular season games, going back to last season's opener on the road, the first road game, they've got 4 wins. And that, you know, that look, it, they went to the MLS Cup final. So it's not like the season is, oh no, we've lost 3 in a row on the road or anything like that. That's absurd. It's still early in that sense. But it's more about how tough it is and just keeps showing itself for a lot of teams. But you know, we move on, and we got a big one coming up. We'll definitely be talking more about that, Mario. But I want to get to a part of our history. Kudos to a couple of big weekends for a couple of players, Mario. And you know who I'm going to talk about, obviously. But take it away. Talk about this first guy, Mario. We all love him. But wow. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, like, being at home and a tough place to go, RSL, St. Louis is up 1-0. Until later in the second half, and all of a sudden it's a Chicho explosion on the goal scoring sheet. What in the world?
We all talked about, you know, in the last episode, how much it hurt me to see Chicho leave LAFC a couple of seasons ago, and this is why. Chicho was definitely cooking up as he usually does. Put RSL on his back as the hat trick hero over there in that match. And he didn't even get his first goal until the 70th minute of the match. And that first one, Dave, it was a beauty. It was a spectacular goal. Yeah. He catches it with the one touch, settles it, turns around with the quickness, and just cracks it back of the net. No question, no way you're going to save that. And this was just 3 goals against arguably one of the best keepers in all of MLS, right? And Ramon Berkey. So that's nothing easy there. And I noticed Chicho, he actually, after the match, he asked Berkey for his jersey. So they did like a jersey swap. And I was like, man, if I'm Berkey, I don't know if I would, ouch, I would feel some type of way. I would be like, what do you mean you want to trade jerseys with me? You're going to go hang this up in your trophy case and say, this is the guy that I, you know, got a hat trick on. And then for Berkey to be like taking Chicho's jersey, what is Berkey going to do with Chicho's jersey? Like, is he going to hang that up and say, oh, this is the guy got 3 goals on me?
Yeah, so it's a funny bit. I love that, what you just said. But it's also a good reminder that these guys are professional athletes, that they move on, like, almost immediately because they have to. Mm-hmm. Like, we suffer with it as fans. We let it linger, you know.
Like, pros, for sure.
Yeah, like, there's nothing that ruins a Sunday more for me than the Cleveland Browns. You know, like, they're my favorite football team. But then the Browns players are all slapping the other team's backs at the end of the game, you know. And that bothers me sometimes, but it's just the way it is, right? They have to move on. But yeah, that's when I might have pointed to the, if I'm Berkey, I'm just like, sorry, I got to take it. Like, this is a charity thing. I got to take it. You know, I can't give it to you. You know, like, sorry, I'm going to give it away, or I'm going to go, you know, auction it off for the St. Louis, you know, SC charities or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not giving it to you. But then once somebody gets to you first, you have to say yes, don't you?
Yeah.
The jersey exchange, right? Like, you know,
you
probably don't.
What
love
you do
it.
Is you say in the locker room, you know, I'd rather say, let's
don't
do
they
it in
always
the locker
point
room.
Like that? Yeah. Like, oh, I got to go in there, or like, let's go in there so it doesn't look like I'm, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah, that's true. Franco Escobar, Mario, comes big with a game winning goal for Houston. He's been playing really well. Dynamo, the Dynamo are quietly just doing it without Ace, who's been injured and just kind of making it tough. They don't give up goals, they don't score a ton yet. But I think they're, 10 points from 5? I mean, they're just kind of plugging along. You know, at first we kind of looked at them. You remember they were in, like, a bit of a, you know, malaise early, very early in the season. Kind of just couldn't get going because, you know, Ace was out and still, you know, But boy, they've certainly recovered. And Franco Escobar, a big part of that. He's part of our history. That's one guy. What was your relationship with him? Super nice guy, but I didn't get to talk to him that much, to be perfectly honest with you.
No, didn't really talk to him too much. He was a quiet guy. And then the fact that he was speaking Spanish, and we didn't do too many interviews in Spanish, so we didn't really get to interact that much. But two things I did really love about Franco Escobar is getting in those big moments and not being shy in those big moments. He had some pretty big goals in his career. He's a winner. And then also the other thing that sticks out is his passion. He is very, very passionate. I've seen him cry like two times in a match. One for like, you know, being angry or sad or mad. And then one for joy as well. So like, you have to love that passion from a guy. Escobar, I remember him on the LAFC bench crying. And it was like a very, very intense part of the game. It wasn't even like we lost or we won yet. It was like in the middle of the match, he's just watching the game. So that passion and that,
He always struck me as a player who lives it. You know, like he, like you said, it's a good way to, it's a good way to put it the way you're talking about that passion, win, lose, whatever. It's the same in a sense. And he just loves the game. And I always got that from Franco. And the thing I loved about him was it didn't matter if he was going 95 minutes or 95 seconds at the end of a match coming off the bench. Like he was ready and he gave it everything he had, you know, for whatever time that was. Sometimes he wasn't a starter, you know, in his time at LAFC. Other times he was a star, you know, like it just, it didn't matter. He was just going to be ready. He was going to always give you that passion. So yeah, I mean, we don't love to see him scoring goals for Houston because they're in the West, just like Chicho, you know, in RSL, but part of our history, you gotta tip your cap to him sometimes. And both of those players are playing extremely well right now. Now, speaking of a player who plays extremely well, we're going to football fit check, but it's a weird kind of transition on my part because, yes, this player is tremendous, but he's also, holy cow, hang on to your hats, 14 years old with the Philadelphia Union. And Mario, he's been in the news. There's some stories swirling about the possibility of Manchester City already for this 14-year-old. Being involved and scouting and saying how, you know, some say he's one of the best, if not the best 14-year-old on the planet. And that's Kevin Sullivan with Philadelphia Union. How is he in football fit check? What in the world are we doing here with this?
Yeah, like Dave was saying, he is just a 14-year-old sensation. Some say he's the best 14-year-old in the world. I mean, if you haven't seen any of his highlights on YouTube, please go do yourself the favor and check out some of his stuff. He's a regular on the U.S. youth national team. They say he's going to Man City. As soon as he turns 18, he'll be at Man City. But yeah, for now, he is with the Philadelphia Union, and he's been playing in the Adidas GA Cup. So that's always exciting, and that's always cool to see the up-and-coming, you know, kids and prospects. So he's been in that. And I noticed that he is rocking these boots here, these all white boots here. But if you get up close, you notice that these are Prada collaboration with Adidas white boots. I mean, for a 14-year-old rocking Prada is pretty rare to see. Now, to be rocking it in a soccer match, that's even more rare to see. And look at these boots, Dave. They're pretty nice here.
Those things are sharp,
all white, and then with the Prada just right down the middle, that signature Prada logo red down the middle, just split it. Those are pretty sharp. I mean, this guy's got some style. He's got some flair on the pitch and some style, some fashion style too.
You got to have some confidence in your game to wear those, which he does, and rightfully so. But also, that's a pretty sharp look. Yeah, I don't disagree. It's a good football fit check there. I didn't know where you were going with that. We didn't plan that out. Like you told me you were going to put it in there. And tip of the cap to you, Mario. Those are that's a good football.
I got my eye on everything.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks good in them. No doubt. Kid can play and he looks sharp in those. I have to go with my football fit check. I want to follow up on, if you remember, we talked about Vancouver's new jersey that I loved up until I saw it on them because of the white thing down the side, like their armpits.
Right.
A little patch of white in these beautiful blue jerseys. And it kind of Well, it did. It ruined them for me. I mean, they still look good, but not like. But then I found the NWSL Seattle Reign had come out with this thing called the Reflection Kit recently.
Yeah,
it's not like their first kit or like, but it's like a special kit, and it reminded me of the Vancouver kit in the look it of does. It. But it doesn't have the silly, you know, white. This might be my favorite kit of the season for anyone, to be perfectly honest with you. This thing is beautiful.
Yeah, this is what they should have done, right, in Vancouver. This is how they should have done it.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful shade of navy blue, because there's also different shades of that navy blue. But this is a perfect shade of that navy blue with the gold and with the socks to match, just head to toe navy blue. I love that, Dave.
Yeah, good if call. You're listening to this, if you're doing audio only and you're not on YouTube watching this, or Seattle Reign's Reflection Kit, just go find it. Wow. I mean, this thing is just right up there with the best of 2024, no doubt about it. It is really, really sharp. And I think they overtook Vancouver because of it. They're very similar.
Yeah.
Color patterns, like even like the accent colors are, you know, similar in that sense.
Yes.
And I thought it, you know, just that little patch of white down the pit, down the pits, just turned it into a pit. Yeah, it just wasn't not good enough for Vancouver. Seattle Reign gets the job done there. But speaking of Vancouver, let's go around the rest of MLS, Mario, for this week. Some things that we wanted to highlight. Atlanta United, they took care of business at home again against Chicago Fire 3-0. That wasn't really what I wanted to talk about. They played well. No doubt they deserve to win. But they're exactly like LAFC this season.
Yeah.
Impossible to beat at home, and they haven't yet won on the road. they can't go away from home. Now Atlanta has the maybe even more of a home field advantage in terms of not so much versus BMO, but Atlanta loves that turf. They're hard to beat on that turf in their their dome stadium, which makes
and they have a pretty good crowd at home too, Dave. Let's not forget about that.
No, you're right. That's a good point. I mean, it definitely is a home field advantage anyway, but they do take advantage of the turf as well. LAFC, you're going to visit there on May 25th too. And if we remember, the only time we've ever been there, I think it was the only time we ever played there. Yeah, we got drubbed. That was a long time. It was literally the first few weeks of the first season of MLS for LAFC 2018. But it wasn't pretty in the sense that it was a tough place to go. So we are going to have to travel there again. One of the Eastern Conference teams that LAFC do play this season, and it's coming up on May 25th. It just reminded me of that. They're kind of both in a similar spot right now. Atlanta United, when you see them at home, you're like, holy cow, they could win the whole thing. But they're having a tough time on the road. That's just the nature.
It's a real thing. It's a real, real thing, Dave, winning games on the road for MLS. I mean, it's so, so important. I mean, LAFC has made it to the MLS Cup final 2 times in 6 years. The one that LAFC won was at home. The one that LAFC lost was on the road, right? It just shows you another example of why being at home is so, so important, especially in playoffs, right? And LAFC has won some big matches on the road too, don't get me wrong. When Bawanga clinched the supporters shield over there in Portland, that was a massive goal. LAFC won in Carson last year. That was a huge win. LAFC's first ever road win was against Seattle in the first year of LAFC's existence. So LAFC can win on the road, and I'm pretty sure, they'll get it figured out later on in the year, hopefully. So,
I mean, historically, LAFC have certainly been a good team on the road for MLS, no doubt. Just hitting a bit of a rough patch here, no question, in the last 20 matches or so. But that's going to happen too. Look at this stat, Mario. LAFC, FC Dallas, San Jose, and Seattle, all of the Western Conference, they're combined 0-11 on the road. Now, three of those teams are right at the bottom of the league in the West. Those other three, not LAFC, they've got some nice points on the at home and everything, but all four teams are combined 0-11. So it's not just LAFC in that sense, but it is just very difficult, and it just kind of reminds you that. LA Galaxy, wanted to talk a little bit about them as we move into previewing this game, by the way, coming up as we look ahead now to this matchup with the Galaxy on Saturday at BMO Stadium. They're one of the three teams without a loss in MLS still. FC Cincinnati and one other Eastern Conference team. Oh, boy. Philadelphia. Sorry. I thought it was going to escape me there for a minute. But Those are the three teams in MLS without a loss. Now, the Galaxy have three wins and three draws. They get another victory at home on the weekend, beating Seattle 1-0, Mario. Is this the best Galaxy team that LAFC will have faced?
I would say, well, that first year was a pretty tough team with just the presence of Ibrahimovic. That was a pretty tough team to go against.
He shook up every... I'm not talking about against LAFC. I'm just saying, because you're right, Ibrahimovic shook up the rivalry. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
He was in a couple of players' heads. That is just the truth.
Yeah. Galaxy definitely have made some improvements, and that was a big win for the Galaxy in tough conditions against an always tough Seattle Sounders team. I mean, they have struggled as of late, the Sounders have, but it was all puddles, Dave, and it was all over the pitch. The ball was not even traveling well on that grass in Carson, and the Galaxy managed to get that one and only goal that they needed. And, of course, our former goalkeeper, J-Mac, John McCarthy over there, he picked up the clean sheet. So it was a massive win for them, especially heading into the derby match coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, and we should also say, though, that even when Ibrahimovic was around, LAFC have owned them in the playoffs when it really matters, right? So struggles in the regular season at times, but they've owned LA Galaxy in the playoffs, which is all that really. However, I do think this is the best Galaxy team on paper that we're ever going to face in terms of regular season, especially. But I'll say this. I don't know if you're going to even agree with me. I don't care in terms of what other fans are going to say. This is completely not against the Galaxy, like we're, it's a rivalry. This is the most overrated team in MLS. Now, as I say that, they also might be the best team in MLS, if that makes sense. Okay. Because the two are not mutual. Like they can go together, actually. Michael Jordan, to me, was overrated somewhat as a player, but he still might be the best basketball player ever. Mm-hmm. I know that seems like how can that possibly be? This is a team that's, yes, they're undefeated. Their defense is still not solved in that sense. I mean, they're better-ish, but they still can be scored on. They like to score a lot of goals. They're going to need to win a lot of 3-2, 4-3 games when the weather's better and it's not, that waterlogged pitch like you were talking about. But they're still overrated right now. It's a team that still has some flaws and that's not to say they're not doing well. How can you argue, right? 12 points from 6 matches. They're unbeaten. I get it. You can have both. Both of these things can be true. They're a lot better than they have been. They're still not there yet. And I'll even go so far as to say they're not going to come into BMO Stadium on Saturday and win, Mario. And I don't make predictions about games. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm like, who knows? I'm a little scared of every game, frankly. That's professional sports like we talk about. But they're not coming into BMO and beating LAFC yet. They're not. And they have done it before, right? I know this rivalry's tough. That's going to be a good match. But I like the matchup with this particular LA Galaxy defense.
Yeah, I would say that they are a little bit overachieving. And we all know that they have made some tremendous improvements. Yes. And when you had a season like they did last year, there's nowhere to go but up, Dave. So, yes, they are a little bit hyped up right now. They're feeling themselves right now, as they should. They're off to a great start. But from where they became, from where they were to where they are now, it's there's only one way to go and up. So, yeah, a lot of people are definitely up on them, and as they are as well. I mean, we faced them 21 times so far in MLS, and it's been pretty even, right? I mean, Galaxy does have 7 wins, and LAFC has 5.
I think they've got 9 to our 7.
There you go. Yeah. 9 for Galaxy, 7 for LAFC, and then there's 5 draws, 5 yes. big draws, but every episode just – Must see football, must see soccer. They've been amazing. And last year, we went into Carson and LAFC did beat the Galaxy over there. So, of course, Galaxy wants to return the favor over here at BMO, and they're going to want to get a win in downtown LA, which is the heart of LA. And I like the way our friend B Real from Cypress Hill, he's a big fan of LAFC. Sure. He likes to call it the proper LA. BMO is in the proper LA. So yeah, Galaxy's going to be up for it, and LAFC's ready to defend the home field, of course.
Yeah, you know what I love about a rivalry like this? For my money, the best rivalry in MLS.
Yes.
The tip of the cap to a couple out there, Toronto, Montreal,
since
Seattle,
the first
Portland,
game, yeah.
Of course. You know, no doubt there's some great rivalries in MLS. This is just, this is at a different level being 12 miles yeah. apart. But it also, it's the irrationality of fans, and that's the beauty of it, right? Whoever wins this match, it's what? Game seven of what, but you're going to feel like you're going to win MLS Cup if you win this match, because both teams have that potential. LA Galaxy have improved dramatically. LAFC certainly can get to a third straight cup. And you're going to feel like if you win this one, and then if you really win this one, like, oh, see, everything's like, if LAFC wins, all the irrational beauty of being a fan is like, oh, see, the Galaxy aren't back. There's the same old defense, whatever. If the Galaxy win, their irrational fans are going to be like, oh, we're going to win the cup. Like, we're the best team ever now. Mm-hmm. We're all the way back. Like, and that's the beauty of it, because it does yes. matter, right? Yes. Everybody else talks about in MLS, like, oh, these regular season games, some people look down on it. Like, they don't matter. You've never been to an LA Galaxy LAFC match if you think that the regular season doesn't matter. Like, it's just, you've never been, you must have never watched one even. This is, these matter. And so you can get hyped about them. And that's the fun mm-hmm. of it. Overreact to it. Who cares? That's the beauty of it, right? Yeah, it yeah. is only one game, but who wants to hear that? This is entertainment. Let's yeah. Let's overblow it. And I probably will do that on the next LAFC Plus next week, right? We probably will, but that's the yeah. fun. You know, and that's why I say they're overrated coming into this one. That doesn't mean they're not good. The Galaxy yeah. are very good. They're first in the West and deservedly so. But it just, plus it's the dreaded throw out the record, whatever cliche you want to use, because it doesn't yeah. matter what the records are in this match. We all know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. So
yeah, for the listeners out there, for the viewers out there, make sure you check out the pregame show on ESPN LA on the ESPN LA app. And we're going to start at 4 p.m. with the pregame on the ESPN LA app. And the kickoff is a little bit extended for this one. So we're going to have a pretty good chunk of a pregame show for this nice. One, Dave. It's going to be, you know, close to an hour of a pregame. So if you want to get pumped up, you want to get hyped up, check out the ESPN LA app. Click on LAFC play-by-play. And you'll have our pregame show right there starting at 4 p.m.
So easy to use that app and hit that LAFC, yeah. You know, button on that app. It's just so great. Mm-hmm. All, you know, I got a lot of relatives who like to listen. You know, they're fans of mine, I guess. But it's so, you can listen anywhere. You know, they don't happen to be in LA, like, you know. But yeah, it's just fantastic. So 4 p.m. Pacific, the pregame on the ESPN LA app, kickoff. You know, as Mario said, a little bit less than an hour later. Also on Emma, of course, the Apple TV MLS season pass as well. And I think it's on Big Fox as well, if you want to go that route. But yeah, join us 4 o'clock for the pregame. Mario, as always, great stuff here on LAFC Plus. We're rolling along. I can't believe we got a touchdown worth of these already. Episode 7.
Dave, episode 7, I already got to take a break. After this episode is done, when we're done recording this, I'm heading yep. over to Mexico. I'm going to Ensenada. I'm taking a few days off, and I'm going to go hang out at the wineries, take the family out there to enjoy some food, go along the beach and hang out. And I'll be back on Thursday. I'll be back on Thursday to build up that hype and talk to some of the players about the upcoming El Tráfico Derby at BMO Stadium on Saturday.
That's awesome. Next couple of days, if you're in Ensenada, you see Mario, say hello. He won't high-hand you. He's not that highbrow. I promise. He's a man of the people. So enjoy it, Mario. And enjoy yes, this episode, and we'll be back next week. We appreciate it. This is LAFC Plus. Join us again next time. Thank you.